بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. آج ہمارے درمیان شیخ نظر حسین صاحب موجود ہیں اور یہ پوری دنیا میں تقریباً ویسٹ میں پاکستان میں ہر جگہ پر گئے ہیں اور ہر جگہ پر انہوں نے اللہ اور ان کے دین اور حضرت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی زندگی پہ بات کی ہے. ابھی یہ اپنے دورے پاکستان پر آئے ہیں, تقریباً 3 مہینے ہو گئے ان کے پاکستان میں. اور پاکستان میں ان کا مقصد یہ ہے, چونکہ پاکستان میں یوتھ زیادہ ہے, نوجوان نسل زیادہ ہے, تو ان کا مقصد یہ ہے کہ یہاں پہ ایک ایسا سٹیج قائم کریں, یہ ایک ایسی موومنٹ یہاں پہ قائم کریں کہ جس میں بچوں کو, یوتھ کو اسپیسیفکلی, جو ہمارے بچے ہیں اور جو ہماری نوجوان نسل ہے, ان کو قرآن اور اس کے علاوہ چاند اور جتنی بھی اسپیسیفک چیزیں ہیں جو ان کا مقصد ہے, جو ان کا ویژن ہے, وہ یہاں پہ بچوں کو, نوجوان نسل کو سکھائی جائے کہ دراصل قرآن مجید کی جب ہم تلاوت کرتے ہیں تو یہ تلاوت کرنا کیوں ضروری ہے. اور قرآن مجید کی صرف تلاوت کرنی نہیں ہوتی بلکہ اس کو سمجھنا بھی ہوتا ہے. ایک ہے قرآن مجید کی تلاوت کرنا کہ آپ صرف ریڈنگ کرتے ہو قرآن مجید کی, ایک اس کو سمجھنا ہے کہ جو ہر ایک آیت ہے, یہ ہر ایک حرف ہے, اس حرف کے پیچھے مقصد کیا ہے, اس حرف کو نازل کس چیز کے لیے کیا گیا, کب نازل کیا گیا اور اس کا مقصد کیا ہے. تو جو میسیج ہے یا جو میننگ ہے, یہ شیخ صاحب یہ چاہتے ہیں کہ پاکستان کے نوجوان اس چیز کو سمجھیں اور وہ قرآن مجید کی تلاوت کے بجائے اس کو سمجھنا شروع کریں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے اس کو نازل کیوں کیا اور اس میں ہم مسلمانوں کے لیے پیغام کیا ہے. آج کے اس سیشن میں انشاءاللہ تعالیٰ ہم اسی پہ بات کریں گے. اس کے علاوہ اسلام کے اوپر بات کریں گے کہ آج کل کے دور میں جس طریقے سے ہمارے مسلمان دین سے بہت زیادہ سائڈ لائن ہو چکے ہیں, جس کی وجہ سے ہم زوال کا شکار ہیں, اور اس زوال سے ہم نکلے کیسے, ہم قرآن مجید کو سمجھیں کیسے, اور یہ ان تمام چیزوں کے اوپر انشاءاللہ تعالیٰ آج ہماری گفتگو ہوگی. تو شیخ صاحب ہمارے ساتھ موجود ہیں اور یہ ان کو اردو آتی ہے, اردو سمجھتے بھی ہیں لیکن بولنے میں ان کو تھوڑی سی تکلیف ہوتی ہے, تو انشاءاللہ یہ ہمارا جو سیشن ہوگا آج کا تو پورا کا پورا انگلش میں ہو, پورا انگلش میں ہوگا یہ سیشن. تو انشاءاللہ تعالیٰ ہم اپنے سیشن کے آغاز کرتے ہیں یہاں پہ. سر, ہوپ یو آر ڈوئنگ ویل. مائی فرسٹ کوشچن فرام یو از دیٹ What really is Islam?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him, as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And I greet you and our audience with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the question is, what is Islam? And there is only one correct answer, only one. All other answers are not correct. Islam is submission to the one God.
Thank you so much. Sir, our main topic here at the discussion, at the session, is Islam and Quran. So it is a very beautiful and a very fascinating topic. What would you like to say about this topic, Islam and Quran?
Well, first of all, if Islam means submission to the one God, then did Islam come into the world for the first time with Nabi Muhammad? Huh? Who will say that Islam came to the world for the first time? Which schoolboy would say that Islam came to the world for the first time with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? That's nonsense. So who will say that Islam today is only with this ummah? Nowhere else in the world. Only here you will find Islam. Which schoolboy will say that? I want an answer. Because we have a lot of brainwashing. There is only one religion with Allah, only one, and it is Islam. Only one. So Islam didn't come to the world for the first time with Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. There was Islam here before he came. And there is Islam here beside this ummah. But we don't believe that. We've all been brainwashed that the only place you can find Islam is here in this ummah, nowhere else. That's the schoolboy. If you want to find out the truth, you go only to the Quran. Absolute truth is located in the Quran. And when you go to the Quran and you have studied the Quran as it ought to be studied, only then do you go to Hadith. Only then. And if the Hadith is in harmony with the Quran, then you accept it. But what do you do if the Hadith is in conflict with the Quran? What do you do? Answer: you stay with the Quran. That is the answer. Because absolute truth is only in the Quran. Is there anyone who differs with me? No one. Absolute truth is only in the Quran, nowhere else. So we use the Quran to judge the Hadith. And when we use the Quran to judge the Hadith, when the Hadith is in harmony with the Quran, we accept it. But if the Hadith is in conflict with the Quran, what do we do? Do you want an example? Should I give you an example?
Yes, please.
Okay. Allah speaks in the Quran about marriage. And He says you must marry Nisa. Nisa is not a child. Nisa is a woman. A child does not become a woman until she is capable of making a baby. Only then. And when she is capable of making a baby, then in addition to that, she must have some maturity. She doesn't have to be 35 years of age. That is Washington's nonsense. But she has to be at least the age of Maryam alayhi salam. When the angel came to tell Maryam alayhi salam, you're going to have a baby boy, she may have been about 13 or 14 years of age. Today, one part of Pakistan which does not accept the Quran as absolute truth, you know what they will say to the angel? Go back. She's still a child. Come back when she's 18 years of age. That is the thinking of the sheep and the cattle, whether they're in parliament or they're outside of parliament. So if a Hadith is in conflict with the Quran, like this one, that Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam married a child like this, 6 saal ki bachi. Is this hadith in harmony with the Quran? Or is it in conflict with the Quran? Is there anyone who will marry a six-year-old child? Nobody. None. Is there anyone who will give your daughter in marriage at 6 years of age? Koine. So how can you accept this hadith? Can't you think? Have you lost the capacity to think? So when a hadith is in conflict with the Quran, we put it aside. But what happens when a hadith is neither in harmony nor in conflict? Like many hadiths, like hadith of Khurasan. Answer? We accept it, but only as information, not as knowledge. So if you want to know what is Islam, this is how you know it. You don't go here and there and there. You go to the Quran and you go to the hadith to the extent that the hadith is in harmony with the Quran.
Thank you so much. And basically, our topic here today is Islam, Moon and Pakistan. So what are your views about this one?
If Pakistan is to survive, and the greatest danger of all is just around the corner, within the next few years, we expect a big war, nuclear war. And I expect that at that time, when nuclear war takes place and the United States leads the effort to wage war on Russia and on China, at that time they will attack Pakistan. And they will use a new government in India, which belongs to them, Modi, to attack Pakistan from that side. And they will invade Afghanistan another time to attack Pakistan from this side. And Israel will attack from on top. Can Pakistan survive all alone? No, not at all. So there is a great war which is coming. And that war poses great danger for Pakistan. How should Pakistan prepare for it? The answer? Only the Quran can save you. Is there anyone who differs with me? Only the Quran can save you. Only the Quran can guide you. But has Pakistan ever turned to the Quran in 75 years? Never. Never. But I came to Pakistan at this time in my old age. By the moon, I'm now 82, almost 82. So I'm an old man now. But I came to Pakistan at this time, whereas previously I was going to Russia, I was going to Belgrade, I was going to other countries, paying more attention. But I came to Pakistan at this time because our Prophet Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, I know a little bit of Urdu, he said, Meri ummat barish jaise. Main ye nahi janta hu kya pehle barish behtar hai ya akhiri. My Urdu is okay?
Yes.
My ummah is like the rain. I don't know which shower is better, the first or the last. So there is a last shower of scholarly rain coming, and I have concluded it'll come in Pakistan, idhar. That's why I've come. But it will not come from the Darul Uloom. I am not speaking ill. I'm just telling you the facts. The last shower of scholarly rain of this Ummah will not come from your Darul Uloom. No. It'll come from those who have the scholarship and the insight to understand the world today and to respond to it powerfully. And this country had such a man in Dr. Muhammad Iqbal. I don't say Allama, because he doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. Shamsul Ulama, he doesn't need that. Learned men, they don't need titles. No. So the last shower of scholarly rain will come from Pakistan. And it will come from the scholarship of men like Dr. Iqbal. And my teacher, Rahimahullah, was a student of Iqbal, one of his best students. So I have inherited that scholarship. So if Pakistan is to have a future, it will only be with the Quran. And it will only be if you are faithful to the Quran. And there are two things you have to do. The first is, you have to recite the Quran. Rose, har rose, every day. You have to recite a juz of the Quran every day. In Farsi they say sipara. In Arabic they say juz. So you have to recite a juz of the Quran every day. What's the best time to recite the Quran? Anybody? At the time of?
Fajr,
correct. At the time of Fajr. So if at the time of Fajr you are sleeping, Pakistan has no future. And you have to khatam the Quran every month. So when you see the moon, like Itwar Kadin, when the Sunday night comes, then the month will end and a new month will start. Because Saturday night you can't see the moon, but you look for the moon. Chand Raat Hai, Saturday night. And if you see the moon, then it's Dhul Hajj. So when you see the moon, you begin the Quran. And you must finish the Quran by the next moon. That is your first duty to the Quran. When you're doing this, then the next duty is to study the Quran. And for that I have a book entitled, I think the book is over here, How to Study the Quran. I have a book, How to Recite the Quran, but we don't have it here in Karachi. These are the two things that I've come to teach. How to recite the Quran and how to study the Quran.
Thank you so much, sir. Sir, since we do not have that much time, so I would directly go to the last question, and that is that we observe our Muslim nation. They have spread into many, into different sects and into different mentalities and into different mindsets. we do not have a proper direction, neither do we have one direction. Everyone is split it into their own sides. So what do you think is the right direction, and what should our Muslim Ummah do to get connected to Allah directly?
We in this Ummah, we believe that Nabi Isa alayhi salam is coming back. And his followers, the Christians, they also believe that. But I have a surprise for you. When he comes back, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, there will be no more Roman Catholic, no more Protestant, no more Seventh-day Adventist. None of that. There will only be one people, and they say, we are Nasara. Nasara means Christian. That's the only one allowed. So when he comes back, and he comes to this Ummah, because he's coming to his Ummah. This is his Ummah. And he's going to be the leader of his Ummah. And Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said he's coming back to rule. Al-Hakimul Adil. He will rule with justice. But he's ruling over his Ummah. Because Allah will not send him to this Ummah. That's a surprise, eh? Because what does the Quran say? The Quran says, I am sending you to Banu Israel. That is what Allah says. So Nabi Isa Islam alayhi salam is sent to Banu Israel. Can you change that? Can you change what Allah has ordered? I'm asking you. Is there anyone who can change what Allah has ordered? No. If Allah has said, you are going to Banu Israel, no one can change that. So he's not coming to us. He's coming to Banu Israel. And he's coming to rule over them. But they would be in the deen of Islam. And we will also be in the deen of Islam. So he also has to teach us and be our guide. So when he comes to this Ummah, khatam, no more Brelvi. Khatam, no more Deobandi. Khatam, no more Salafi. Khatam, no more Ahli Hadith. Khatam. No more Shia, khatam, only Muslim. So if you want to identify yourself as Brelvi and Deobandi and Ahli Hadith and Salafi and Shia, remember, when he comes, you finish. You have to throw that away. And you must identify yourself only as a Muslim. If Pakistan is to have a future, if you want Allah's barakah in Pakistan, then stop identifying yourself as anything else but a Muslim.
How can we do this?
You have to have backbone. What is backbone in Pashto?
Backbone.
Mila.
Mila.
Mila. Mila.
Yes, mila.
Mila.
Mila. Mila.
Mila.
Yes.
Mila. Backbone, mila. But you have plenty of mila in KPK. Anna? Mila. Backbone. If you have a backbone, mila, then you stand up. and you will declare, I am Muslim. I don't care. You can do what you want. I am only a Muslim. If you are with Mala backbone, then Pakistan will have a future. But if you continue that I am Brelvi and I am Deobandi and I'm Ahle Hadith and I'm Salafi and I'm Shia, all of this is out of the window when Nabi Isa alayhi salam comes back.
My last message for Pakistan
is that there is a great war which is coming. Maybe during the time that Biden is president in America. They didn't trust Donald Trump. That's why they use every dirty trick to remove him. They didn't trust him. They needed their own man in the White House. And they now have Biden there. So I am expecting, sometime while Biden is president, that Russia will be attacked. But the Quran tells us, Russia today is returning to Christianity, returning to the spiritual path. And Allah says in the Quran that He raised the followers of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, raise them to be dominant over this other group who rejects Him. And that is NATO. So we can close our eyes and we know Russia is going to win the war that's coming. Russia will defeat NATO. You know that and I don't know that. I know that, but Erdogan doesn't know that. And what do you call it? Ertugrul?
Yes.
Ertugrul? Ertugrul doesn't know that. And Erdogan doesn't know that because they're still in NATO. But Pakistan is going to be attacked. And if Pakistan sits down and does nothing, then they will destroy Pakistan as a nuclear power. And they'll break up Pakistan tukra tukra. But the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is not to sit down and do nothing. He was someone who took initiatives to change the world around him. And that led to Hudaybiyah. And when we had Hudaybiyah, Allah said, Inna fatahna laka fatan mubina. A great victory. So if Pakistan takes initiatives now to change the world around it, then there is a chance for Pakistan. What can Pakistan do? I can't speak publicly. No. I can't speak publicly and say everything because it'll reach others. I have to keep it private. But Pakistan needs a strategic initiative with India to block Modi, to take the wind out of Modi's sails. And there's half of India who respond positively. I can't tell you what Pakistan should do. Number two, Pakistan has to build the same relationship with Russia that Pakistan has built with China, intelligently so. So that's why all the anti-Chinese propaganda is flooding us now. anywhere you turn is anti-Chinese propaganda. Maintain the strategic ties it has with China at this time. But we say you must build with Russia the same what you have with China. Who is stopping it? Erdogan and Turkey. They're stopping it. Number three, Pakistan has to build its relationship with Allah. Pakistan has to declare, we recognize absolute truth in the Quran. And we take a pledge to try to conduct the affairs of this state in conformity with the Quran. These three things you need to do. And then there is a chance that you can survive.
Thank you so much for joining us. और बहुत ज़्यादा खुशी महसूस हुई. We are very happy that you came and you talked to us. And inshallah, we have learned many things from you. And inshallah, we will definitely put this everything into an action. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया आप सब लोगों का. बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया. ये सेशन यहीं पर इख्तिताम करते हैं. सही है सर. मेरे ख्याल से असर की नमाज का वक्त हो गया है तो लेट हो जाएगा. They are asking that if you'd like to accept some of the questions from audience.
Of course.
Okay. अगर कोई सवाल है तो आप पूछ सकते हैं अपना.
Colonel Omran.
Sir, what role do you see about the Afghanistan, the latest unfolding in Afghanistan, and the new regime is coming up? What role do they have to play?
The question from Colonel Imran is that there are important developments in Afghanistan at this time. How do these developments impact on Pakistan and how should Pakistan respond? My answer is that the Afghan people have one more time demonstrated that you cannot defeat them. Britain tried and Britain failed. The Soviet Union tried, not Russia, the Soviet Union tried and the Soviet Union failed. And then the Yankees, Washington, United States tried. And after 20 years, United States has accepted. We failed. The writing is on the wall. Even though Afghanistan has the same kind of ulama from Darul Uloom like Pakistan, but they have backbone. And they can fight. They don't have the knowledge. No. They don't have the knowledge. But they have the backbone and they can fight. So the writing is on the wall. Islamabad can say what they want. The writing is on the wall. In my opinion, it's only a matter of time that the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan will be restored. It was established in the 1990s and Mullah Omar was the head of the state. And they had an ambassador in New York. And this man was fluent in English, a very well-educated man, a very cultured man. And he became my friend because I was based in New York. And he was sending the cassettes because there was no internet. He was sending the cassettes of my lectures to Kabul. And he reported to me, Sheikh, Kabul agrees with you, everything except two. Number one, Kabul believes that they must fight to get recognition from the United Nations that they are the government of Afghanistan. And I have said, forget the UN. Number two, Kabul believes that the paper money is halal. And I had said, the paper money is bogus, it's fraudulent, it's a vehicle of oppression and exploitation and enslavement and haram. But they deferred with me. So this time when the Islamic Emirate returns after 20 years, I hope they'll get some sense in their head and don't go knocking on the doors of the United Nations. You don't need the United Nations, number one. Number two, you don't need the IMF. You can declare in Afghanistan, dinar and dirham as legal tender money. If the Islamic Emirate in Afghanistan does that, Pakistan, you can't sleep anymore. Your days for sleeping will be over. Islamabad will get a zalzala because Afghanistan will be showing the road of dealing with the subject of riba. So Pakistan will then have to declare dinar and dirham legal tender here as well, while the rupee is still there. When Pakistan does that, because of Afghanistan, and you have dinar and dirham in the market, only then can Pakistan take the rope from around its neck. All the interest you're paying on loans, and you're afraid to default. Because if you default, your rupee will crash, like Venezuela. But once you have dinar and dirham in the market, then Pakistan can declare to the world, the moral law is the highest law. There is no oppression in the moral law. And the interest we are paying on these loans is oppression. So we will not pay any more interest. Bas, khatam. Baat, khatam. We will not pay any more interest. But we repay the capital sum borrowed. Then the money lender will not know what to do. Because if he attacks the rupee and the rupee crashes, we have dinar and dirham. So there are developments taking place in Afghanistan now and about to take place, which can change Pakistan. Bring a chair, come here. Look at it.
Sir, my question is that the current situation going around all Pakistan, all around the world, sir, that in Palestine, our brothers and sisters are being killed every day. And meanwhile, sir, in China, most of our brothers and sisters are being killed, like anti-Islamic situation in China. Sir, moreover, the world is also supporting these lunatics. Sir, what actually would you recommend us to do in this situation? Because before the war happening in Pakistan, this is the war actually going around the world. So, do you have any suggestions for us? Or
I understood only one part of the question. That the Muslims of China are being oppressed. China is a bad country. why is Pakistan maintaining good ties with China? That's the question I understood. This is the propaganda that is sweeping the world now. The Muslims of China are being oppressed. Every Zionist and every follower of the Zionists is singing this song. But guess who started it? The Uyghur Muslims of China live on the land on which the Belt and Road Initiative is to take place. Strategically located. That's where they are. So if you could send some of Dajjal's warriors, and the CIA will give them the weapons, and the CIA will give them the money, like they did in Chechnya, these Dajjal's warriors will then go to China and try to bring about an uprising sponsored by the CIA. And then the whole world will be told, China is oppressing. But if I am the Chinese government and the CIA comes to give weapons and money to Dajjal's warriors to come and wage war and fool the Uyghur Muslims to go fight in Syria. They're all over the place now. What will I do as the Chinese government? Answer, I'll stamp it out. Because you're threatening the state itself. So don't come to me crying that China is oppressing the Uyghur Muslims. Don't come to me with that. Take it to the CIA. Because that is where it started. I don't have the intellectual acumen of a donkey. I have the capacity to understand what is happening. And this is what is happening now. The CIA and the Mossad and Saudi Arabia and Turkey are the ones who have instigated the Uyghur uprising. They did it in Chechnya and Putin destroyed them. And they're doing it in China and China will destroy them. And they deserve to be destroyed. But those amongst them who are innocent, and they say, no, we don't want to be a part of this. Guess what they do to them? These same jihad, they go and kill them. Yeah, they go and kill them. The same jihad. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Any further questions? Thank you so much.
Okay, it's
been nice talking to you. What will quickly upcoming go to the joint committee?
Student, please sit down. Be disciplined.